And good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our Christmas Eve broadcast. And I'm saying our today because my whole life I've been surrounded by beautiful and strong people. And today, in keeping with a tradition that we have started a couple years ago, I have both the counselor and captain with me, and we've included, for the first time, the executive director, Kate. And Kate is with us by Zoom.
You're doing fine.
And Captain O'Brien and the counselor are messing around with the panel, so I don't know what we're doing here, but I can see that the little needles, the little VU needles, are moving the way that they should be. So before I give my Christmas greetings, I want to make sure that everybody is here. Counselor, are you on?
I am on, and I'm sorry I was backseat driving there.
Yes, yes. It's, it is something that is not usually happens with captains. Captain O'Brien, are you on with us?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Loud and clear.
And the ever-lovely Kate.
Hello, all the way from beautiful British Columbia.
Oh, from British Columbia, yes, across the, where Canada does indeed celebrate Christmas the same day as all the rest of us, although they do not celebrate Thanksgiving on the same day.
No.
So my
more sensible than that.
Yes. My Christmas greetings go out to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, and in particular to those who answered the call and made contributions and donations for Old Man Winter. And when Kate comes on, I'm going to be asking her how we're doing with Old Man Winter. And in keeping with the custom and tradition that I have with this broadcast, I will be making a donation to Old Man Winter on behalf of all of Captain Joe's people. And in particular, also, do I send Christmas greetings to all of our service people who are deployed. I spent many, many Christmases deployed in one part of the world or another. I know that Captain O'Brien did, and I suspect that the counselor's family also did. So we're going to, each of us gets to tell our Christmas story, and I get to tell the one that I tell every year, and that is how I got the Christmas tree for my Northwind in the wonderful port and the most hospitable port of Wellington, New Zealand. On the binnacle list today, I don't have any significant changes except to say that your captain had to make another speed run to an emergency room during the week, and I've got to figure out some of the both logistics and the hydraulics of all of this to keep that from happening, because I can't just keep on going back to places like Allenmore. So all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, and especially if you are feeling it particularly mentally, emotionally over the Christmas season, know that all of you are in the palm of my hand. I do have to confess that this year, maybe because of my own challenges, but maybe for other reasons as well, that missing Mary R. has been a particularly difficult and poignant thing for me this year, more so than since the year that she died. And if any of you are out there are sharing those feelings with me, know that we are shipmates together in all of this. So because we have Kate with us, Kate, I want to ask you to tell a Christmas story. It can come from your childhood. It can come, and you also, your dad was in the Royal Canadian Navy. Maybe it would be a story connected with that. But it is your choice and your call, and you look absolutely splendid this afternoon. So you grace your captain, and you warm the cockles of my black captain's heart on this Christmas Eve. Over to you, Kate.
Captain Joe, thank you very much. And I have my Zoom filter on.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Zoom filters are a wonderful thing.
Yes, we're on Zoom with Kate.
Yes. I do have a story. I was in retail for many, many, many Christmases. And this was back in the day when, you know, people got to volunteer if they wanted to work Christmas Day. We didn't make anybody work Christmas Day. And so I would have a handful of shops that would be open, maybe five or so. And we would get up in the morning, me and the kids and my husband, and we'd pack up a bunch of homemade bread that I made the night before and homemade chili. And the kids would be able to open up their stocking first thing on Christmas. But then we would go out to all my stores and deliver all this food because, again, back in the day, restaurants weren't open. Nothing was open on Christmas Day. So it was these kids working hard on Christmas morning, serving coffee, slinging the lattes. And that was my family's Christmas morning. And, you know, it's funny. I haven't been in retail now for several years, but I still miss those days visiting my stores and the kids bringing candy canes in and, you know, and then we'd go home and we'd have our family Christmas. But those were lovely memories for me.
So while you have my full and complete attention, as you always do, I am always remembering the time that you and I spend together when we do the car parade for Strawberry Festival. And I've got two board members. So the two of you are still on the board?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So I've got two board members here, and I'm sort of salting the mind by reminding them that the comments that we get were universally good, and there was nobody that said, we don't want Kate and the captain to do it again.
No.
So while I've got you, how are we doing with Old Man Winter?
Old Man Winter is going very, very well, thanks to many of the captain's people. So I recognize names, and certainly when there's an off-island person that is donating, I ask, the first question I ask is, thank you, you know, so, so very much. We absolutely appreciate you so much for this lovely gift. And are you a captain's person? And they get back to me instantaneously and say, yes, I'm a captain's person. And then they tell me who they, you know, how they knew you or, so it's lovely to see those notes coming in. And the love for Captain Joe is really and truly across this entire planet. And we can't thank you enough for what you do for Voice of Vashon, Captain Joe, and what you do for our community. You're a really amazing human being, and we're so grateful to have you.
So there were some people who came to my birthday celebration, and you were there, and the captain was there, and the counselor, and their ladies, and your husband. You all were there for my birthday celebration. There were some people who came thinking that they were coming to my memorial service. And they were doomed to disappointment. So when you say all of these nice things about your captain, I have to tell you that there are some who do not share in all of that. Yes, counselors.
I was going to say, with the time you spent dancing with the ladies at that birthday party, I thought it might turn into your memorial.
Exactly.
Because there's not many of us that could have kept up with you, I'll tell you. You made the most of it.
Yes, well, the next day was a lie-up day after that. Yes, that's true. So, Kate, I guess this is the appropriate time for me because counselor is here and the good captain are here, and they both sit on your board. So which one of you is the senior man? All right.
I'm closer.
Yeah, you're closest. So here's a donation, as in keeping with our custom, a donation on behalf of all of Captain Joe's people all over the world for the Voice of Vashon.
And I have to say, that's cash money, folks.
Thank you very much.
Listen, that's not a check, man. This is cash money.
Yes.
Greenbacks.
Yes. There you go.
I got a good place for it.
It's going in your starboard pocket there.
It's going in a special section of my wallet.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. So, Kate, as always, it is lovely to spend time with you, even if it is while you're in British Columbia. Are you in White Rock or one of those places like that?
I'm in Squamish.
In Squamish.
Squamish is a beautiful, beautiful place. I really love it up here. There's no snow because that's a little bit further up in Whistler, but We're still at sea level, but the mountains around us are just sensational. Squamish is a really lovely little town.
I of course, am related by marriage to half of Anglo-Canada, so it is also one of my favorite places in the whole world. Captain, it is to you now, because we go in inverse order of seniority.
Yeah.
And the captain always goes last. Do you know, and this is for the counselor as well, that in a court-martial, that when the voting takes place, that the voting is done in inverse order of rank. And so the president of the court, who is the senior man, always votes last. And that is so that he does not influence the votes of the junior people.
Makes sense. Good.
And if you have enlisted people on the court, and enlisted members entitled to have enlisted court members, and if you have enlisted people on the court, they always go first, and then the president is the one that votes last.
Well, that's appropriate, since I was an enlisted man in the Army. And my Christmas story has to do with my first time away from home. I arrived in Binh Hoa, Vietnam in late October of 1966, and I took the first month just trying to figure out how to get the heck back out of there, you know.
Now, especially out of Binh Hoa.
Yeah. Well, actually, we had pretty good duty. It was a nice spot to be. I lived in a little, it had been a French compound, and we called it a sawmill. I don't know what it was in its day. But it had been converted to us, and our detachment was only about 35 guys. And we didn't have a motor pool. We didn't have a mess hall. We didn't have medical. We didn't have any of that stuff. We were on our own. And the good news was that when we weren't on duty, in other words, you know, from 8 to 5 or whatever it was, we wore civilian clothes, which nobody else, none of the other GIs got to wear civilian clothes in Vietnam. So that's a part of my story. So here we were, been there about 2 months, and I get a package from my brother. I think I may have told this before, but this package is, it's about 5 by 5 by 3 feet, 5 inches by 5 inches by 3 feet. And I thought, what the heck is this? It was very light. And so when I opened it up, my brother and his lovely wife lived in Helena, Montana at the time. They mailed me a Christmas tree. It was a little Christmas tree, and you talk about the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. This thing, it had been a while in the mail and a while in that hot climate. So it was losing a fair amount of its needles, but it still was a Christmas tree. And we decorated that thing and set it up. And boy, everybody was so appreciative of them sending that Christmas tree to us there in Vietnam. And then the second part of that is, I told this earlier today that my friend Joe Cheska, who was a Polish kid from Chicago, his parents sent him a
summer sausage.
Summer sausage, that's what I was trying to think of. And it had been in that hot weather, so it was sweating a bit, as it were, and it was quite odoriferous. But Joe and I tore into that thing, and man, it was delicious. Everybody else, boy, they didn't want to have any part of it. But the last part of this story, the reason the civilian clothes come into mind, is that there was about six of us, I think. I think about five or six of us that we knew that Bob Hope was going to be playing at the Big Red One unit, the 1st Division unit at Zeon. So we piled into a deuce and a half, you know, which is a big truck, and we drove, I don't know how many hours it was to get there, but we arrived just seconds before the show was to begin. And here we were. We're at the back of this huge group. There must have been, 50,000 people. I mean, a lot of troops there in this big natural open bowl. And you could barely see the stage from where we were standing. And one of my buddies looked down and said, you know what? About four rows back, there's a big open space. Let's go for it. And so we said, yeah, why not? Well, we're in civilian clothes. Everybody else is in uniform. So they did not know who or what we were. I mean, I have to mention I was in a little intelligence unit. I think I forgot to mention that.
Little intelligence unit?
Involved. Very little intelligence involved. Trust me on this. but we just walked to the front of the group, and the the seas parted. The people ahead of us, you know, the guys would say, excuse us, guys. They turn around and see us all in civvies. And they would motion for the people ahead of them to let us by. And we walked all the way down to the front. And we were like four rows back from the front. And it was Bob Hope, Joy Heatherton, Phyllis Diller, the Korean Kittens.
Oh, the Korean Kittens.
The Korean Kittens, yeah. They were a great singing group. Les Brown and his Band of Renown, of course, that was backing him up. And, I'm going to forget his name. Anyway, and two other performers. It was a great show. Fabulous. I'll never forget getting to see Bob Hope at Christmas. So that's my Christmas story.
All right. And a well done to you. Bravo Zulu. Yeah. Counselor.
Yeah. My father, who was a lieutenant in the Fighting Corps of Engineers and got a couple Purple Hearts during World War II, was long out of the service by the time this particular story occurred. We had moved from Northern Ohio to California, and we were staying for a while in Menlo Park, or no, excuse me, in Burlingame, California. But my sister was already living out there. She had just gotten married, and her husband and her were very active in their church. And I was asked at the age of 16 to help sell Christmas trees. It was one of these deals where you stayed overnight to guard the Christmas trees in a trailer, you know. In Menlo Park is where the sales were going on. And It was kind of fun shaking out the trees. You know, I want this kind of tree. I want a Blue Noble. I want a, you know, whatever, a spruce or something. And but occasionally we'd have people come in who didn't have any money, and so I was working for somebody else, and I was instructed not to be selling these trees for any less than what they were supposed to be going for. But on the last day, today. Christmas Eve, my supervisor left, and he said, "You're in charge for the rest of the day." And the rest of the day, all I did was give away Christmas trees, particularly to individuals who came in on Christmas Eve, and they said, "We don't have any money. Is there any way we could get some kind of Christmas tree or a bough or something?" And it was just a wonderful day of giving for me, and I remember well. It has a significant effect on me, and I've tried to give back at Christmas because, as Dickens said, it's that one time of the year where men seem to open up their closed up hearts and recognize that we're all on the same path together.
So you have just opened up for me to acknowledge something that I do every so often with the two of you, and that is to recognize a life of service and a life of doing good things for others. That's a lovely story about the Christmas trees. And here's mine about my Christmas tree. So I was headed into Wellington, New Zealand with my North Wind, my icebreaker North Wind. And I always observed the sailor's custom of having a live Christmas tree at the masthead. And so when we got to St. David's Head, which is the entrance to the harbor at Wellington, I had to take a pilot. And I've talked before about my relationship, somewhat stormy relationship every so often with pilots in the world. I happened to draw the chief pilot. And when we picked him up and were headed in toward the cruise terminal in Wellington, and he could see that my ship was well organized, didn't particularly need his services. And so I climbed up into the captain's chair, and he was standing next to me, and we were just talking like old captains do. And he said, "Captain, we are, in a few days, we're going to have our annual Christmas party. We'd be delighted if you could come." I said, "I would be equally delighted to accept the invitation." And on the appointed day and hour, a vehicle drove up with a driver and from the Wellington Harbor Board and the Pilots Association. And I got in and went to the chief pilot's house. And all of the pilots that were not working were there. And they were all of them enthusiastically participating in the consumption of different kinds of beverages. And I, in those days, was an equally enthusiastic participant. So the day went on, the night went on. And finally, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I said, I really got to get back to the ship. If I stay here, I'm not going to be able to hit my butt with a basketball. And, so Chief Pilot said, well, Captain Joe, is there anything we can do for you to make your stay more pleasant? I said, you are the whole city. Every one of my crew members had a family to go to. And I said, you've already done it. This has just been a wonderful place. And the only thing I need is tomorrow, I'm going to send my first lieutenant out to get a Christmas tree, because I always observed the sailors' custom of having a live Christmas tree at the masthead. And so the car and driver took me back to the ship. I worked my way up into the captain's cabin and crapped out there. And the next morning, the telephone over my bunk rang. I was lying up a little bit that morning. And the telephone rang, and it was the officer of the deck on the quarterdeck. And he said, Captain, there's this great big tree. Looks like a fir tree of some kind. It is on the quarterdeck, and it was delivered by a vehicle from the harbor pilots. And I said, well, I have a feeling I know where it came from. And so I got on the phone and I called Chief Pilot up and I said, Chief Pilot, I just have been told that there is a very large tree. It's about 30 feet tall. And a very large tree on my quarterdeck. And I suspect that it came from you. And he said, well, it did, Captain Joe. After you left, we went out, and you remember in our back garden, they're called back gardens in English places, not backyards. In my back garden, you remember there was a row of evergreen trees back there? And I said, yes, it was lovely, beautiful place. I do remember vaguely seeing them back there. And he said, well, one is missing now. We decided that, in all fairness, that you should have one of our trees. And so we went into my garage and selected a chainsaw, and we went out there and we cut one down. And he said, my wife is a little bit unhappy with me, but in any case, that is, we send it to you with our love. And I said, I will have it hoisted up, and as soon as it's there, I'll give you a call. And in a couple of days, I was using my helicopters to give flights for the family members of my crew, people that had hosted my families. And so I was giving flights with my helicopters to them, and I said, will you come, Captain, to see your tree on my ship? I'll take you up in one of my helicopters, and we'll fly right over it, and you can see it. And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. So the tree was hoisted up. We had to do it really carefully because it had to go up above all of the antennas and all of the sensors that are up on the mast. But there is a wonderful photograph of my North Wind in the ice with this great big Christmas tree that came from the pilot board. All right, loves, we've got 5 minutes to go. And Kate, I'm going to go back to you for you to deliver your Christmas greetings to whomsoever you would like to deliver Christmas greetings to.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I would love to deliver Christmas greetings to all of Captain's people. I'm one of them.
Indeed, you are.
My family is also part of the Captain's People group. And all my family in Toronto and back home across Canada. And of course, my family in the United States, and VOV is so much a part of my family. So happy, happy Christmas time and happy holidays to everybody at Voice of Vashon and our Vashon community. I'm so thankful for these two board members sitting right there in the studio as well. And we have a great board and great volunteers, and very thankful, and sending everybody smooshes and kisses and hugs and from afar.
Good.
Smooshes.
Thank you, Captain.
Well, I guess I have to say some of our Army Buddies, which you are now one of our honorary,
I am indeed,
honorary
yes.
members.
A great honor you do me with that.
Thank you. I have to say a very Merry Christmas to them and remember our time in both in Vietnam and in Germany. I have two groups of fellows that I keep track of, and so I just wish them a very happy holidays.
All right. Counselor?
Well, I want to start with the two of you. The three of you that are here. Truman, my flight instructor and good friend, co-owner of our airplane, producer of Unbelievable Eggnog. Kate, who is just the greatest executive director of the Voice of Vashon that I've ever been experienced, and we've had several that have been excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Kate takes the cake. And to you, Captain, it's an honor and a privilege to be on this radio station, this radio show, with you, because you are truly an island gentleman and treasure. And we are very thankful for your participation and your presence. Also, I have to mention my wife, Lynette, of course. Our two children, Kate and Nick, who live down in Ashland. Kate with her daughter and my granddaughter, Max, the Maximizer, Maxine. and all my friends back in Ohio that I went to high school with, who oftentimes listen in to your show, our show, the Brown Briefly, etc. So Merry Christmas to all. Ho, ho, ho.
So... before I give my ending greetings, Captain O'Brien talked about his Christmas tree. And so here's my Christmas tree story about Vietnam.
Yeah.
During the Christmas that we were on the gun line, we were able to keep at sea by being replenished underway. And so we were as many as 4 months without touching a port, because the oilers would come out and refuel us, the ammo ships would come out and rearm us, and the store ships would come out and provide us with all of the commissary stores. At Christmas time, just before Christmas, we're steaming along, and the manifest comes over from the supply ship that we're going to go alongside. And you do this underway. You do it at about 12, 13 knots. And you do it with the two ships I like to work at about 70 feet, 70, 75 feet. And we did over 60 underway replenishments while we were on the gun line. That's how we stayed alive. Mm. And because she was a steamship, she burned she burned black oil. So the manifest came over on the deliveries before Christmas. And one of the deliveries was to be a chaplain, and my captain was very much against having any chaplains aboard. But that's another story for another time. The other thing that was on the manifest were Christmas trees. And so we could have as many Christmas trees as we wanted, because they had lots of them on this ship, and they would just bundle them up and put them on the trolley that went back and forth between the two ships. So that's how we got our Christmas tree in Vietnam, and all of the messes in the ship had their own Christmas tree.
Mm, fantastic.
So we have now come to the end of our Christmas show together, and it remains for me to thank the ever-lovely Kate for her patience with me over the year, and Truman and Captain O'Brien, Truman especially, because I managed to screw up the board frequently, and if it were not you, I would not be able to put my broadcast out.
Thank you.
And Counselor, it is always my pleasure and my honor and privilege to work with you and for us to do really good things together. My greetings then go out to all of Captain Joe's people, my Christmas greetings. And whatever holiday it is you observe, go out to all of you. All of you remain, as always, in the palm of my hand, now with a little bit of Christmas holly also in the palm of my hand. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe with a Christmas greeting to all of my people and on station and watching properly.